Woods, Glowing Wild, an illuminated wildlife lantern festival at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay Exploration Park in Redding, California. Open select nights April 4th through June 8th, 7 to 10 p.m. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with Asian lanterns inspired by plants and animals from around the world. Plus food, drinks, live performances on select nights, and much more. Don't miss Turtle Bay's Glowing Wild Lantern Festival at the Sundial Bridge. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
The Redding Regional Chapter of Safari Club International 31st Annual Banquet will be Saturday, April 26th at the Wind River Events Center. Doors will open at 5 p.m. There will be games, live and silent auctions, and drawings, which will include over $35,000 in prizes for hunting, camping, and plenty of items for the ladies. We look forward to a fun evening in support of the world's largest wildlife conservation organization. To purchase tickets, go to sciredding.org. That's sciredding.org.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Saddle up, folks. Corey Meyer Real Estate presents the third annual Palisadro Frontier Day, Saturday, April 12th. Enjoy a full day of vendors, a trade show, a sizzling barbecue competition. Then, the action kicks up a notch with the Silver Bridge Rodeo Bulls and Bronx Bull Riding Event. Learn more about Frontier Day and purchase pre-sale tickets now at pcfrontierday.com. Special thanks to our sponsors, Advanced Auto, Dolker Backo, Country Strong Fitness, and Red Sky Asphalt.
Shasta Lake and neighboring friends, the Queen of Dragons has your back with premium products at prices that work for you. As the longest-standing dispensary in the area, our local team knows exactly what you need. Our shelves are stocked with the freshest flower in town. From our premium, fresh, and local line to our budget-friendly options featuring Emerald Junkies and Tricana Boys. Don't miss our famous Flower Friday deals. Top quality at unbeatable prices. And for the green thumbs out there, clones are now in store for the growing season. Join our Dragons Reward program and earn points with every purchase. Stop by 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake or call us for delivery at 530-276-9771 or check out our menu at thequeenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons. Premium offerings, unbeatable value just for you.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Get ready to lasso your chance at free tickets to the
Red Bluff Roundup.
Tune in to KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM Monday through Friday between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach during the Free Fire Radio Show for your chance to qualify to win a pair of tickets to the Red Bluff Roundup. When you hear that iconic cattle clip,
hit 'em up, move 'em on, hit 'em up, raw hide. Cut 'em out, ride 'em in, cut 'em out, ride 'em in raw.
Call 530-605-4567. That's 530-605-4567 for your chance to qualify for our drawing coming up on April 11th at 8:10 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. So don't miss out on your chance to qualify to win a pair of tickets to the Red Bluff Roundup, courtesy of the Red Bluff Roundup, My Umbrella Marketing, and your friends here at KCNR.
It's necessary because as individuals, we couldn't survive if we didn't take care of ourselves. And he, as he points out, that's why a man is, first of all, most interested in what concerns him. He's also the one who is most capable of understanding what he needs and what he can contribute to others. There's a second dimension of human nature, which is essential. And again, Adam Smith points this out, and that's that man is a social animal. Mm-hmm. We're not like grizzly bears, for example, who live rather isolated lives and for the most part don't like each other. But in essence, we are social animals who care a lot about each other. Capitalism makes use of both of those. It really emanates from those characteristics and employs them.
So why does it work? Why does capitalism work? Why does it lead to prosperity, more and better goods and services for an economy?
Sure. Capitalism, first of all, it incentivizes people to utilize their capabilities, their capital, or their capitals, as Adam Smith puts it, which means their knowledge, their abilities, their property, and it rewards them for finding ways to help others, to see, serve others' needs. So that's the first thing that it does. It incentivizes this behavior, but it also gives a feedback or a kind of knowledge. If we earn profit, profit is essential. That's gain, and it shows that one has taken resources or factors of production which are less valuable and converted them to something that is more valuable. If we take factors of production and make something that's less valuable than what we started with, we take losses. That's a signal to stop. And if we don't follow the signal, we go bankrupt. If we earn profit, that's an encouragement. And so that's an ex post signal of whether or not we are operating successfully.
There are critiques and criticisms of capitalism. Is it proper? Is it even necessary to address what some would call the excesses of capitalism, what some would call corporate greed, or in a different sphere, perhaps crony capitalism? Do we have to address those things inside the system?
I like that question a lot. I think that it's comes from a misunderstanding of what capitalism is to say that crony capitalism is an example of capitalism gone to an extreme. Crony capitalism was actually what Adam Smith called mercantilism. That's government regulation that is designed to, as Smith put it, to favor some. He said extraordinary privileges for some, extraordinary restraints on others. That's the use of government to interfere with capitalism. I've studied the Soviet system, and if you look at the way a communist system operates, ultimately what it is, despite what they say on paper, what a Soviet or a communist style system is truly extraordinary privileges for those in charge and harsh restrictions on everyone else. So that comes a lot closer to what socialism comes a lot closer to what crony capitalism is in its essence mm-hmm. than true capitalism does.
There are calls, there are people in this country who would say there needs to be a change, and perhaps not outright socialism, but this term that they call democratic socialism. What does that mean? How would that sort of system change the very nature of the country?
Democratic socialism is socialism. So socialism is an economic system. And whether we voted for it or whether it was imposed by a dictator, it's still socialism and it doesn't work. There's a misunderstanding that we have different economic systems and it's like picking something off a menu. Which mm-hmm. do you prefer? That's not the way it works. Capitalism, again, creates the incentive and the knowledge of how to create value. If you're not creating value, you're destroying it, you're not growing it, you're not serving people's needs. And socialism has no alternative system that it operates for that. It simply ends up being the fiat of a so-called expert who is unable to identify any of these things. No way to identify profit loss.
Dr. Charles Steele is your teacher for Understanding Capitalism. Again, hillsdale.edu/new course. If people go, sign up, and take the course, and hear you lecture, what do you hope that they get out of it?
I hope that they understand capitalism. It's important that the individuals, that Americans, understand something about the economic system that we have, and in particular, that they understand the importance of private property, individual liberty, and sound money. These are essential for human flourishing. Capitalism is really the system that permits human flourishing. In the course, one of the things that I try to emphasize is that this has both practical implications, but also that it's a moral system. And both aspects of these are quite important.
Dr. Charles Steele, Director of the Center for Commerce and Freedom, Associate Professor of Economics, and Herman A. and Suzanne S. Detweiler Chair in Economics at Hillsdale College, your teacher for the new Understanding Capitalism online course at hillsdale.edu/new course. That's hillsdale.edu/new course. Dr. Steele, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thank you. I look forward to some new students.
Up next, Will Tebow joins us. We'll talk about his recent report on the impact of DEI on U.S. military readiness. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
You're listening to What's in a Name. Though this particular Michigan city's name at first look has a fairly simple origin story, it's a bit more complicated than it first seems. The name Detroit comes from a French word that means straight, like a body of water, which, in turn, comes from the city's positioning around the Detroit River. The river comes from Lake Erie, one of the five Great Lakes. The city still remains as one of the oldest and most important cities in the Midwest. So the name comes from French settlements in the early 18th century, which was roughly 300 years ago. The land itself has been populated for over 11,000 years by many different peoples, including the Iroquois and the Hurons. Rich in resources, it was highly contested, and after many battles, ultimately ended up within the United States, first as a territory and then as part of the state of Michigan. It has since earned the nickname of the Motor City due to its history with Henry Ford. This has been What's in a Name. My name is Megan Pidcock, and you're listening to Radio Free Hillsdale 101.7 FM.
I'm NAFA, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is Hillsdale President Larry Arn on Congress granting itself legal exemptions.
In 1788, as the Constitution was being debated, James Madison wrote that the chief restraint preventing Congress from passing laws that apply to us, but not to Congress, is, quote, the vigilant and manly spirit which actuates the people of America, a spirit which nourishes freedom. If this spirit shall ever diminish so as to tolerate a law not obligatory on the legislature, the people will be prepared to tolerate anything but liberty. Today we Americans live under many laws that do not apply to elected officials and those who work for them. If we hope to preserve liberty, we must recultivate the freedom-loving spirit of our fathers.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To join the national conversation on the Constitution, go to constitutionminute.com.
You're listening to Letter of the Law on Radio Free Hillsdale 101.7 FM. As of October 1st, 1942, according to Kentucky Law Code, anyone who handles a reptile in a religious service can be fined anywhere between $50 and $100. Even with this deterrent in place, snake handling during Pentecostal church services remains as a practice in Kentucky's countrysides. Rattlesnakes tend to be the snake of choice, and as one would imagine, the practice can be dangerous, with multiple deaths having been reported due to these services. Additionally, members of these churches often refuse medical treatment in the instance of a bite for religious reasons. Kentucky is not alone in having these snake handling churches. The first recording of this practice was in Tennessee, and spread throughout Appalachia and beyond, even reaching Los Angeles, California. Snake-handling churches derive from multiple verses in the Bible, including a literal reading from a passage in the Gospel of Mark, which says, "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Coming out of the Pentecostal movement, which is a form of evangelical Protestantism, participants wish to feel a close connection to God. Members of these churches have claimed that those who have gotten bitten have handled the snake before it was spiritually ready. Services can also include speaking in tongues and other characteristics of Pentecostal churches. This particular law is rarely truly enforced, so much so that there have been several attempts at shows and documentaries following these churches. Reptiles and snakes are legal to own, and police have said in the past that they will not charge anyone unless a child becomes involved. So, next time you're in Kentucky, be wary of rattlesnakes, lest you have a spiritual experience and find yourself having to pay for it. This has been Megan Pidcock on Letter of the Law. If you want to hear more of Letter of the Law or other student shows like this, go to RadioFreeHillsdale.com. Once again, you're listening to Radio Free Hillsdale 101.7 FM.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Be sure to find us on X. We're at Hillsdale Radio for updated show and guest information. We're joined by Will Tebow. He is director of the American Military Project at the Center for the American Way of Life at the Claremont Institute, more at claremont.org. Will, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Scott.
There is a report over at claremont.org that people can find, Identity in the Trenches, the Fatal Impact of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion on U.S. Military Readiness. A lot to walk through in this. Let's start by defining our goal, which is what is the duty of the U.S. military? What should we always keep in mind as we discuss these matters?
The military is the only institution that exists exclusively to apply violence at an industrial scale in defense of the American nation. No other institution can and probably should do this. And so it is the military's purview to be able to apply violence with maximum lethality when absolutely necessary.
Okay, for the military to achieve that goal or work toward that goal, is it at all necessary that it in some way reflect the makeup of the nation?
It's not necessary. And there are many reasons to believe that if such a reflection is a goal of policymakers or defense officials, the military would inherently lose its focus from its core unique mission. The military is an inherently hierarchical, conservative, let's say a small c conservative institution, in that it depends on a fairly rigid hierarchy, subjugation of personal desire to the greater good, and an absolute adherence to standards that are directly related to the mission of the military and to the individuals who serve within its ranks. This is in direct opposition to the nation it supports. We are, in America, you know, even by politically conservative standards, a small L liberal country based on individual rights, even natural rights, but nonetheless individual rights that don't easily conform to an organization like the military. So therefore, you should go to great lengths, policymakers should go to great lengths to maintain a strict separation between the values that govern civil society and those that govern the military.
When people talk about DEI efforts and quotas in military recruiting, what sorts of specific actions are being referenced? What's being done, or what was being done at least?
The fundamental action arm of DEI is the desire to guarantee proportional representation of the organization, in this case the U.S. military, with the U.S. society writ large. And if such representation does not match, to presume injustice when the natural inequality of life manifests itself in the racial composition of the nation. The DEI project, with a lot of window dressings and dare I say, distractions, the DEI project is the effort to demand and guarantee equal representation between the races and sexes in the military and in the nation writ large.
Talking with Will Tebow, he is director of the American Military Project at the Center for the American Way of Life, more at claremont.org. What have been the effects of this push, this DEI push inside the military? What did you find?
DEI has upended the essence of what standards mean for the military. I think even today, the conventional wisdom holds that standards are a way to determine who is the best and filter out the rest. What DEI does is at every level of the organization, force a consideration of innate characteristics that someone does not choose about themselves in order to influence the ultimate decision about personnel and programs within the military. This is a slow, corrosive, but certainly disastrous effect on our military's effectiveness. And there also comes with it the natural prescriptions of policy that demands more racially and sexually diverse populations, that majority groups are discriminated against in order to meet diversity outcomes, goals, and quotas of any kind. And what results, as we saw at the end of the Biden administration, was a crippling lack of manpower and military resources for a nation already stretched thin to protect itself.
We've been referencing this report, which people can find at claremont.org, and it was released in the waning days of the Biden administration. We now have a second Trump administration in place, Will. And in the last few months, according to data, the number of enlistment contracts has skyrocketed. What do you credit with having this effect?
I think the American people have the confidence that the president will make decisions about the use of military force only considering whether or not the application of such force would benefit the American people and the American national interest. I think that trust is something that has been absent from the relationship between the American people and the commander-in-chief for over a decade, and the recovery of that trust, or the evidence that such trust is returning, is a huge reason why you're seeing an uptick in recruiting numbers. It's undeniable. It's not just correlation. There is a lot of reason to understand this as causation.
Is it sustainable? Getting our numbers back to the place where they have to be in the military. So is this a sustainable trend, do you think?
I certainly hope so, but I think we have to continue to earn the American people's trust. If the American military is an institution that is seen as the opportunity and the place to forge masculinity and manhood, that it is the place where boys can become men and that they can do so while serving a great cause, then I think that this trend will continue. But if the military, one day, whether during or after President Trump's term, becomes just another institution of civil society, just another institution of self-actualization, then recruiting numbers will decline, or at least become mediocre again. Because if I'm told that, in the military I can be all I can be, just like I can be all I can be at college and, in the entertainment industry or in the media, then what's so distinctive about the military, other than a lot of suffering and sacrifice and a modest paycheck? There has to be something distinctive about the ethos and the values of the military. And our government, through policy, should ensure that it stays that way.
Will Thibeault is director of the American Military Project at the Center for the American Way of Life at the Claremont Institute, more at claremont.org. You can also find his recent report there as well. It is Identity in the Trenches, the Fatal Impact of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion on U.S. Military Readiness. Will, thank you so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thank you, Scott.
Up next, Dr. Derek Stauff, Associate Professor of Music at Hillsdale College, gives us tips and suggestions about how to appreciate music. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Online at KCNR1460.com.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio.
Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Carl Bott. Trish is on vacation and is never here on Thursdays. Good morning, everybody. It is 7:51 on the 27th of April, and this is just this has just been a morning of giving facts to everybody. At 8 o'clock, we're going to have Ready Rancheria here. And I see Jack Potter and wandering around with a couple other people here. Well, this portion of the show is brought to you by Northern Farms Instruction, the best instruction you're going to see. Take a look at the reviews. Everyone, 5 stars. Yeah, everyone, 5 stars. And you don't get that very easily. You get it by knowing what you're doing and providing great quality, great content, and really good instructors, Northern Farms Instruction. And now they've just opened up a gun shop, Northern Farms, and it's at 11091 Rhyolite Drive, which is across the road from Waterworks Park on that right-hand side, right behind the bowling alley there, right on that same spot, 11091 Rhyolite Drive. Give them a call, 800-913-1393. Okay, now, shall we move back to President Biden? Okay, we can do that. He showed up yesterday at a press conference. And you remember how, when presidents walk in, the reporters ask them questions. Well, when President Biden walks in, he has crib sheets that walk in, say hello, and I'll get you in a second, Robert. And he brought a cheat sheet to Wednesday's press conference. He had the advanced knowledge of journalist questions. They got a picture of it, and it's clearly said, this is somebody that you're going to call on. They had a photo of her so he would not get confused. And he says, the question, how are you sharing your domestic priorities like reshoring semiconductor manufacturing with alliance-based foreign policies, which is, South Korea and China type thing? Anyway, he's got this, and he's got a photo of it, large print, her photo, her name, and the question. Come on. Come on. This is, and this reporter was from, let me see, who was this? It wasn't from the record. Oh, Los Angeles Times. How embarrassing. So she just gave her questions up front. Robert, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl. Thanks for the show. A couple of just quick comments on your a minute ago when you were talking to Stones. First of all, federal government tasked with two charges at the beginning, only two things that they were really looking to do, and that was protect free trade among the states so that no one state had a head over any of the others, and the other was national defense. And everything else that the federal government does right now is all overreach. It's all a result of men trying to get more and more powerful. And the second comment is government is not evil. It is men, it is us that are evil. It is humankind that does dumb things for dumb reasons. And
Wait a minute. Did you say humankind is evil?
Yes.
Well, would you mind explaining that? You think all humankind is evil? Are you evil, Robert?
Well,
no, of course not. Of course not. Is Linda evil? No. Are there people who have misplaced their morals and their moral compass out there? Absolutely. Now, are there evil people? Yes, I have met evil people. And what you try to do when you meet truly evil people is remove them from society. But all people, every time we use that word all, I get a little hinky. Okay, go on. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Okay, Carl. How about I replace evil with flawed?
With what?
Flawed.
Flawed. Okay, I'll go with flawed.
Yeah, and so because we're flawed, we do dumb things, even if we think we're doing them for good reasons. They end up causing massive amounts of harm. Anyway, real quickly, the majority of the Old Testament in the Bible is a big, long historical story about the dangers of putting your trust or your faith in government of man. It all goes through multiple kings and multiple judges and multiple different types of human rulers that all are flawed in various ways and lead to problematic outcomes. So the government is necessary, I mean, our physical government, but who we should really govern ourselves after is Jesus Christ. So thanks for the time.
You
appreciate
bet.
It, Carl.
Okay. Yeah, we are flawed. I mean, we're obviously all flawed in our own ways. But, you know, when you start saying, you know, equating evil with flaws, that's where I have my problem. Now, am I flawed? No. Christina, am I flawed?
As for me, no.
No, because for you, no. Yeah, I am flawed. Man. Oh, sometimes flawed is the easiest word. When Linda says, where's the power washer? Honey, I'm flawed. That is going to be my next, that is going to be my answer to everything. Did you get all that stuff up in the attic, honey? I would, but I'm flawed. Okay, everybody, there's your new catchphrase, guys. When you're not doing something that you should have done, just look them deep in their eyes, hold their hands, and say, honey, I'm flawed. President Joe Biden did it again. You know, I can't, I'm sorry, I'm talking a lot about him. Here's his latest one. There is no such thing as someone else's child. He then repeated it. Our nation's children are all our children. Oh, wrong, wrong. Now, I can understand where Biden, you know, would say this because it was written for him. You know, and I said, well, you know, we should all be nice to children or blah, blah. No, that's not what it's saying. It hits on an increasingly common theme among Democrats that they know what's best for your kids. Now, parents are pushing back. The GOP-controlled U.S. House last month passed a Parents' Bill of Rights that would grant parents more access to what's going on in their child's classroom. And there's, you know what, parents, you know, when I see all the things going on, if I had children in the school, I'd be down there a lot. I'd like to see your curriculum. I'd like to see what you're teaching. And I'd like to see the books you're using that before my child, who was 6 years old, reads them. And I don't see anything wrong with that. Anyway, but because parents are trying to take things back, they've been called terrorists by our nation. The FBI has assigned people to look at outspoken parents. But, you know, when they try to do that, they're slammed. Parents are slammed for trying to take care of their children. Anyway, got to run. When we come back from the news, we have Jack Potter and Ready Rancheria.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Join Aaron and Bill for We the People Radio, Sundays, noon until 2.
It's conservative talk radio with a liberal dose of humor. Get the whole story from experts around the world delivering facts rather than opinion.
Missed a show? Busy at noon? No problem. Listen to our free archives when you have time. No commercial interruptions or download restrictions. We the People Radio.
.us.
Goldleaf Nursery is celebrating 50 years in business. Yep, 50 years. Seems like yesterday our nursery and landscape business was just a little seedling itself. But the truth is, we've been serving Shasta County for 50 years, growing shrubs, trees, and veggie plants since 1975. Also, as a licensed contractor, we've landscaped shopping centers, city parks, and custom residential homes. The sale will start now and continue through springtime. All 1 gallon and larger shrubs and trees are on sale. With spring right around the corner, we have a good selection of spring shade bloomers such as azaleas and camellias and many other sun blooming blooming plants to enhance your landscape in those sunny locations in the yard. This is the perfect time of the year to start preparing your vegetable garden. We have organic soils and fertilizers, including a full line of John and Bob's Organics that will carry non-GMO seeds. So rest assured, you can have a healthy planting crop in your vegetable garden. If you have not been to Gold Leaf Nursery, we invite you to check us out and see for yourself why we have so many customers tell us what a unique nursery we have. Gold Leaf Nursery, 6186 Churn Creek Road, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course and 1/4 mile from Airport Road.
Now, this is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Henry Clay, Warhawk, Rebellious. Backed by popular demand, this limited edition Toro is sure to please. Another fine example of Nicaraguan tobacco blended by AJ Fernandez. Complex, smooth, chocolatey Habano wrapper, a satisfying smoke with a clean finish. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
You remember when quality mattered more and people advertised low prices? When craftsmanship wasn't just a buzzword, but a way of life. At Cascade Curations, they never forgot. Their hand-selected collections honor that American tradition and the quality you grew up with. Quality clothing and low prices, just like they used to make them. Come see their showroom of men's and women's clothing across from Jack's Grill on California Street. And as always, they have free parking for their customers. Go by and see for yourself. Cascade Curations.
Shasta College will host the last of three workshops titled Getting the Outside Garden Ready and Preserving What You Grow. This workshop will be held April 26th from 1 until 3 p.m. at the Shasta College Farm in the greenhouse. Workshop topics will include bed preparation for an amazing harvest, how to start composting, setting up irrigation, growing herbs, controlling weeds and bugs, canning basics. There will be a $5 charge to cover materials and seeds at each workshop. Master Gardeners are also sponsoring a plant swap after this workshop. A garden fair is also planned from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. This family-friendly event will include garden activities for children, composting demonstrations, garden-related vendors, and basic gardening advice. For questions regarding this event, contact Lemoyne Waite at 530-242-2210 or contact Shasta College.
Join Aaron and Bill for We the People Radio, Sundays noon until 2.
It's conservative talk radio with a liberal dose of humor. Get the whole story from experts around the world delivering facts rather than opinion.
Missed a show? Busy at noon? No problem. Listen to our free archives when you have time. No commercial interruptions or download restrictions. We the People Radio.
.us.
Still 101.7 FM.
Hey, it's Scott Bertram, and I want to tell you about something new from Hillsdale College. It's the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. Check it out right now. Go to podcast.hillsdale.edu. The Hillsdale College Podcast Network offers free nationwide access to all of Hillsdale's podcast content. That means shows like the Hillsdale Dialogues, the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, the Hillsdale College K-12 Classical Education Podcast, The Larry P. Arn Show. You can listen wherever you are and whenever you want. And it's always free. Find out more about all of our shows at podcast.hillsdale.edu. You can subscribe to any program with new episodes delivered right to your device. If you want to come close to stepping inside a Hillsdale College classroom, well, the Hillsdale College Podcast Network is for you. Get informed and get entertained at podcast.hillsdale.edu. That's podcast.hillsdale.edu.
Hi, I'm Elaine, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is Hillsdale College President Larry Arn on the importance of the presidential oath of office.
Members of Congress and federal judges take an oath to the Constitution, but the Constitution prescribes the exact words of the oath only for the president. The American presidency was a new and powerful office created at the Constitutional Convention of 1787. Nothing like it existed in any other constitution in history. It was designed to allow certain virtues, decision, activity, secrecy, dispatch, things like that. And they were thought to be essential to executive power, especially in a crisis. But despite this immense power, the president is not so powerful as the Constitution itself. That is why presidents must pledge to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, and why it is the duty of the people to ensure that they do so.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To join the national conversation on the Constitution, go to ConstitutionMinute.com.
We're back on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. We've been talking with Dr. Derek Stauff, Associate Professor of Music at Hillsdale College. He's been giving us suggestions, tips on how to listen to and appreciate music. Dr. Stauff, is it okay if we're distracted? Is it okay if we're trying to listen to music while doing different things?
One of the things that I'm not objecting to, if you want to essentially practice listening to music, would be to do what I do with audiobooks. I listen to audiobooks while I exercise or while I do gardening or housework. Things that are generally mindless activities where your attention can be relatively focused on what you're hearing. And I don't see a problem with at least familiarizing yourselves with music. Now, there's certain kinds of classical music that don't work for exercise. Audiobooks can work because it's a different medium.
Right.
But when you're cooking or when you're out in the yard working, or if you have a stereo system that's nice in your house while you're sitting around in the living room and doing something fairly mindless, it probably is not hurting for you to listen to something that you know is coming up on a concert and familiarizing yourself beforehand with the work so that when you get there, it's not totally new material that you're listening to. Some people don't like that idea because they want you to be focused on classical music all the time, but you need exercise to do that.
Sure.
And I think that's possibly one simple strategy that doesn't take a lot of extra time out of your busy day.
Dr. Derek Stauff with us talking about how to listen to, how to appreciate music. There are some words used to describe music that people might be familiar with, but might not know specifically. I'm thinking of melody, harmony, rhythm, perhaps texture. Are there good definitions for our listeners to understand what they should be listening for, what those terms mean?
If you have to think about a kind of thought experiment about what is the sort of minimum requirement for music. Music doesn't have to have a definite pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's all sorts of percussion instruments that
right.
are non-pitched, that the frequencies that they produce are not easily measured in a single pitch. Most music that we hear has pitch, and that's a frequency vibration, and we can measure those. But even the metaphors that we use for pitch are still interesting metaphors. We use the terms high and low for pitches. Frequency, if the frequency is fast, the movement of the waves of sound is fast, we call that high, and then slow is low. And that in itself is a metaphor, and you see this mapped onto musical scores in which the top of the page or the top of the staff is the high notes and the bottom is the low notes. So we're used to thinking about music in these weird metaphorical ways.
Mm-hmm.
But back to rhythm, if you had to reduce music to its sort of first principle, it's this idea of moving through time. Even the simplest piece, like a single note piece, which nobody would even count as a piece of music practically, still has to have a beginning where I play the note and then an ending where I stop. And that in itself is a kind of rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
We're used to thinking of rhythm as a kind of ordered pattern of sounds, and the patterning of sounds can produce a beat, a kind of pulse, and it's from there those pulses our brains group into what we think of as a meter, a grouping of two or three, and our brains are trained to group music generally into groupings of two and three. More complicated groupings do exist in music and are sometimes fun, but beyond a certain point, our brains aren't able to perceive groupings of, say, 11.
Okay.
It's mostly the groupings of twos and threes that we are easily able to grasp. But pieces without that particular pattern still have rhythm. All music has rhythm. It's just that sometimes the rhythm is not perceivable. And this can produce music that appears to move extremely slow and in seamless ways that don't appear to have movement at all, and that's because the movement of the change of pitches are taking place very slow. And you can also have music that has a very clear pulse, but maybe not a clear meter, or that meter is constantly changing, and it depends on the kind of music, the kind of style you're listening to.
And what do we mean when we talk about the melody of a song?
Melody, of course, we intuit is this idea of the tune that we hear, and we kind of string together these tones to create a larger section of music, which we describe these in almost grammatical terms as melodies being grouped into phrases or subphrases and coming to end at a particular point that we call a cadence.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of recognizing a cadence is a complicated thing that's fairly easy to learn and hear, but at moments in the piece we intuit a kind of caesura or a kind of arrival point, much the same as you hear arrival points in a speech through the tone of the voice. Even when you can't see the punctuation on the page that mm-hmm. the speaker is reading, you get a sense from their voice that they've reached the conclusion of an idea. And the same thing happens in music and melodies. We can group these melodies into phrases that are punctuated. When we talk about harmony, we're talking about multiple pitches sounding at the same time. And this is the bulk of what students learn to do in music school when they study music theory. They're studying really essentially how to make harmony, how harmonies can be put together artfully, how you can move from one harmony to the next in skillful ways. And this easily gets beyond what you can explain in words without musical notation and without sure. knowledge of the various elements of music. And it also, I should stress that some of this is very low-level labeling, that if you're going to a concert and you want to enjoy the music, the first thing to the key to in your enjoyment of this music is not to label, I'm hearing a major chord, I'm hearing the music in minor. Even identifying the instruments that you're hearing playing is a simple act of labeling.
Dr. Derek Stauff with us from Hillsdale's Music Department. Would you say then that you need to have some sort of grasp on those fundamental definitions to truly be able to appreciate music?
It doesn't really. I like to make a distinction between this kind of labeling, identifying things and putting them in particular boxes that are rather technical, and the and on the contrary, these aesthetic judgments.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that you can go to a concert and the thing that's more important for you is to recognize that you're hearing something and making a judgment about it. This piece I'm listening to is particularly beautiful. Or I really enjoyed the second movement. It was a lot of fun. Or even for that matter, like, I didn't like this. This piece left me puzzled. I was confused. Or I thought this wasn't performed the way it should be. The ending left me cold. Those are the kinds of judgments you want to essentially, I think those have higher value than just the technical. And to assume that just the technical features and labeling of these moments in the music is all there is, or you've reached a sense of, or you can, let me suggest that you can do a lot of criticism of music without knowing a lot about the technical nature of music. And sometimes the best critics are people from outside domains outside of music, who can in everyday words tell us why this music is particularly important and valuable and beautiful.
It's okay to have an opinion even if you don't know everything about that piece of music or even some music theory. Dr. Derek Stoffe is Associate Professor of Music here at Hillsdale College as we talk about how to listen to, how to appreciate music. Dr. Stoffe, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Dr. Charles Steele, your teacher for the new Hillsdale College online course, Understanding Capitalism. Will Thibault from the Claremont Center, his recent report on DEI's impact on American military readiness, and Dr. Derek Stoffe from Hillsdale's Music Department. Remember, you can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the podcast. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Hi, I'm Tamara Wood, presiding judge of the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is currently accepting applications from individuals interested in serving on the Shasta County Grand Jury. To apply or to obtain further information, please visit ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
The grand jury is one of the most important and interesting volunteer opportunities you can be part of. Applications are now being accepted. To apply or get more details, visit ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
Be part of the solution. Apply today.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.